Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for today. We thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. It's good to sing songs that are true in doctrine. And Father, we know that, Lord, you are here with us today, and we thank you for that. And as we come to your word now, we just ask, Lord, that we would surrender our hearts to you and allow you to lead and guide us, Lord, and teach us the things we need to know as we live in these days, Lord. As we see the soon coming of yourself to this world, we look forward to that, Father. And we just pray that we be people whose hearts are prepared and ready to go. Father, we love you and thank you, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to open to Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 to 28, 23 was the reading, and we're going to be looking at the end of this chapter, and we come to the end of the life, so to speak, of Daniel, the teaching of his life and how he handled things and what happened to him. And then after that, we're going to be doing the prophecy side of things in different blocks. So for today, we're going to be looking at the fact that God is faithful, brothers and sisters. He is a faithful God. You know, I was reading of a kindergarten teacher, and she told everyone in her class she wanted them to draw a picture of what was important to them. And at the back of the classroom, there was this one boy, and he was really busy. He was scribbling away, and he had his head down. And when the teacher said, "Okay, people, everyone's finished, hand your picture in," he couldn't stop. He just kept scribbling and drawing and carrying on. And the teacher graciously went up to him and put her hand on his shoulder, and she said to him, "What are you drawing?" And he didn't even look up. He just kept drawing away on this piece of paper, and he says, "I'm drawing God." And she said gently to him, "Listen, no one knows what God looks like." And he said, "They will when I'm finished." Our young boy, he's wanting to show people what God looks like. You know, Scripture tells us, John 1:18, that no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You know, see, what people can see, though, is God at work in his children. You know, as true believers, we're God's billboard. You know, we're his advertisement to who he is, what he can do, and what he will do in a believer's life. See, God is always at work around us, conforming us to be more and more each day to be like his Son. See, there's not one day that goes by in a believer's life that we're not being changed in some way or another to become more like Christ. You know, and it takes time. You know, the more I study the Bible, the more I see that it takes a bit of stretching to become like Christ. It takes a bit of pulling, a bit of moving around. And the more we're stretched, the more we're moved, the more we're pulled, the more room there is for Christ to take up his place in our life. The more room that is made for him, the more joy, the more happiness, the more hope and trust we have in him. And the more we see, brothers and sisters, we have a faithful God. And God is faithful. That is the title of this morning's message. You know, Deuteronomy 7:9 says to us, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." You see, God can be depended upon no matter what we face in this life. You know, the believer, as they walk with God, can place all their hope, all their trust, all their cares and anxieties into his hands, knowing that he will be faithful to uphold them no matter what they face. You may say, "Well, it's not happening at the moment." Well, then I say to you, place yourself in his hands. And so far in the study of Daniel, we've seen this truth from the very start of it, time after time. You know, when Daniel at the beginning refused to defile himself with the king's meat and wine, when the three young Hebrew lads refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image and were thrown in the fiery furnace, God has been faithful. And last week we saw the reason that Daniel was in the lion's den. He was placed in there with a decree, not because there was a decree not to pray to any other god or man apart from Darius for 30 days. And Daniel, again, he refused. He said, I'm not hiding away. I'm not going to put God out of the picture. I'm not going to go and hide in another room and pray. I'm going to do what I've always done and honored my God. And he opened his windows. He got on his knees. He looked at the holy city and he prayed to his God. He stood firm in his hope in God. He stood firm that his God, our God, would deliver him from whatever man could do. He stood tall on his knees. He stood on his, and he faced all the adversity on his knees. And we saw what the cost of a faithful commitment, a faithful testimony, and a faithful response to God was. And it was that faithfulness in God was the reason that Daniel was thrown to the lions. And often we just read the story and then we forget the reasons for him being there. But now we come to Daniel's, to the reaction to Daniel's action. And first point this morning is the testimony of God's faithfulness. Verse 16 says, then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Now, if you just quickly look at verse 15, we see that it was at the going down of the sun. Then verse 16, that Daniel's brought before the king. See, the sun's setting, and the king commands his men. He said, bring Daniel, cast him into the lion's den. And Daniel, remember how old? He's around about 90 at this stage. A 90-year-old man being cast to the lions. Not only was the sun setting in Babylon, the sun is setting from a human standpoint on Daniel's life. And it's important for us to see that the men weren't allowed to throw Daniel to the lions. They were commanded to bring Daniel before the king first. And the king gives this testimony. He says, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king knew that God was faithful. And I asked myself, well, how did he know that? How did he know God was faithful? He knew it through the way Daniel served his God. See, serving God doesn't mean you're just serving continually in a ministry. Yes, we all are to be faithful to the ministry of God. But the point is, we serve God. The ministry we have is living a life that honors God. That's the ministry. And out of that, everything else flows. Everything we do comes from our relationship with Him. Our actions, our reactions, our hopes, the disappointments, the highs, the lows, are all responded to in the degree we see and know about our God. Amen? That's how it works. His faithfulness. You know, we so often, we serve God in spits and spats. We get on fire for 3 months and then we sit back a little bit, and then we get on fire again and we sit back a little bit. But look what Darius says about Daniel. Thy God whom thou servest continually. You see, in times of peace as well as persecution, serve him. In times of poverty and plenty, serve him. Times of sickness and health, serve him. Times of adversity and prosperity, serve him. And those responses are noticed by those around us. Now, the king saw something in Daniel. He saw a faithful God. Isn't that amazing? That's what he saw. He didn't say that your God is able to deliver you. He didn't say if it's God's will, he will deliver you. The king said with no hesitation, without a shadow of doubt, he said, he will deliver you. No messing around, he will deliver you. And when the stone was laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords. Why? That the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. You see, the king, what he had done, he had carried out the letter of that law. And remember, the Mede and Persian law, it could not be changed. It could not be altered. And it wasn't. And the king returns to his palace, and guess what? He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. He just wanted quiet. He wanted no music, no sound. I can just imagine the others who caused this trouble, these people who wanted to get rid of Daniel. Man, I bet you they're going, oh man, I can't wait to hear the crunch of those bones. I can't wait to hear the lions roaring, feasting. I bet you they were listening for the pains of Daniel's cries. Yet they're disappointed. You know why? Because the God of Daniel was and still is seated on his throne in heaven. That's why. No other reason. That's exactly why. The king, he would have heard, he would have seen in Daniel's life that there was a purpose, there was a desire, there was a will to live for his God. Then that meant that he had a life that he lived that could not be denied. A life that refused to bow, even in the face of death, to any worldly king or god other than the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth. The one who is the sustainer, the deliverer, the one who was the hope of his life. And the king would have known about this. He would have known this about Daniel, but now he can see it. Daniel's life, you see, is now being put to the test. And that's what people are looking at in us. When we tell people we know and love and friends and people we work with that we're Christians, they are looking at our life. They are waiting for the moment that we might mess up. But we have a God that's faithful, and if we trust him and put all our hopes in him, we're not going to mess up. You see, the testimony to God's faithfulness is being worked out in Daniel's life, and God will not fail. God will not prove faithless, and he will not prove faithless to any of us. He will work on Daniel's behalf, and guess what? The same God of Daniel is still the same God today. He cannot change. Hebrews 13:8 tells us his name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Secondly, with a testimony to God's deliverance. Verses 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Oh, after a sleepless night, the king, in the early hours of the morning, he hurriedly goes to that den of lions. And in such a hurry, I doubt he's put on the crown. I doubt he's donned the professional royal robes. That would have all taken time. But he was only concerned about one thing. Daniel in the den of lions. That's what he was concerned about. His friend, his confidant, his second in command, his right-hand man, was in a den of lions. And notice he didn't send anyone else. He went there himself. He went in person. And look, I can just see the probably the tears in his eyes. It just when he says, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Isn't it amazing? It wasn't Daniel who cried out first. If I was in a den of lions and someone was coming to get me out of there, I'd be making a lot of noise, brothers and sisters. A lot of noise. But not Daniel. No.
He didn't say, hurry up and get me out of here. This is the worst night of my life. He says without any exclamation, he says, O King, live forever. And you know what he does after that? He goes on to praise and honor God for his deliverance. What a difference it would be to our lives if we lived and applied that truth to it. O King, live forever. And then praise and honor God. What a difference. Do you know that there would be no fear if we believed that God is faithful? There would be no anxiety in our life if we lived and applied that truth. There would be nothing to worry about what man could do to us. Nothing to worry about what's going on in the world and what's happening. Nothing would worry us. Listen, worry is sin, and it's a form of unbelief that the one true God is faithful and loving, that it is to doubt that very truth. That's what worry and anxiety is. It doubts the truth that God loves you. It doubts the truth that he's faithful to you. It is to doubt the very salvation that God has provided. What a difference if we just said, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me. Just the same, remember Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when the Lord delivered them from the fiery furnace, there wasn't a singe on them. There wasn't even the smell of smoke in their clothes. And look at Daniel, he hasn't even got a scratch. He was calm. He's at peace. God took care of him, says, with no manner of hurt. Nothing at all. You see, Daniel was innocent before his God. And he was innocent before the king. He had not sinned against either of them. And he was under God's protection. And not even the lions could devour him. Now, this isn't talking about sinless perfection. Then Romans 6:23 tells all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means me and you. Amen. But Daniel was living the life God had called him to live. And the same God calls us to do the same. He has a plan and a purpose for each of us in his scheme. And he is calling us to live it to his glory in a life that honors him. To honor him in our relationships, first of all, at home, with friends, with work, in the ministries he's called us to. Listen, if you're a mum or a wife here today, don't ever think what you do at home and in your marriages at work or at work isn't important. It is vitally important. It's just as important as the work that God had called Daniel to do. And you honor God in what you do. And the men, it's the same in your marriages and in your workplace and with your families. God has called you to do the same that Christ did for his church, and that's die for them. Honor them. And wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, honor him, and God will keep you no matter what lions come your way. Amen. Verse 23, the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Notice he was taken up out of the den. So you picture the den. It's all cave, like all rock walls with a hole at the top, and he's down in there. They've cast him down in there. Daniel believed in his God. Because of that, he was put in a den of lions. Because of a law that couldn't be changed. It was a law that went against the law of his God. And Daniel was at peace knowing he was honoring a God that would honor him. Now there are two very deep spiritual truths here for us today. First, there is the picture or the type of the preserving of Israel in the den of tribulation under the reign of the Antichrist. You see, after the church has been raptured out, God again will deal with the nation of Israel. And at that time, in the 70th week of Daniel in chapter 9, it will begin to run its course. Then there will appear the man of sin, the Antichrist. And he's going to make a covenant with Israel for a period of 7 years, that they're going to be free to live and worship their God. But after around three and a half years, he's going to break that truce, that covenant with them, and he's going to set up his image in the temple, and he's going to demand to be worshipped as God. And all this time, there'll be a faithful Jewish remnant who's witnessing to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll stand up against this Antichrist, just as Daniel was a type of those ones in the lion's den. And he's standing up against the decree of Darius. The second truth, which is a beautiful one, is a spiritual picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And both Daniel and the Lord's tombs were sealed with a stone, and both were sealed with the signet rings. See, Daniel had broken a Mede-Persian law, and he had to pay the penalty. Now, God's law says in Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. See, under God's law, sin demands death. Man has sinned, in Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle in no wise shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now that doesn't look good for us, but Jesus took our place. He satisfied the law that demanded death. God's law that truly cannot be changed. But the Son of God, after shedding his blood, after dying on that cross for our sins, for the sin of the world, was placed in a tomb. A stone was placed over the top of that tomb, and it was sealed with a signet ring, and it was locked up. But the very same God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den also brought forth his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the tomb. He is alive forevermore. He is never, ever going to taste death again. And his children will never taste death. We will never know the sting of death. We will never know the victory of the grave. And like Jesus, we too will live forevermore. And after Daniel was taken out of that den, he couldn't be executed in any other way. That was the law. It couldn't be changed. The law had been satisfied. And but for God's grace, Daniel wouldn't have come out. But when he did, Daniel had nothing left to pay. And the same is true for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered once. For all, forever. He paid in full sin's debt. His sacrifice cannot be repeated. He suffered, he died, he buried, he rose again. He was delivered from the tomb. God raised him from the dead for our justification. What a God. Romans 4:24 says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Brothers and sisters, you can have all the torment in the world, but understand this one thing. If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ scripturally, you are justified. Nothing can take that away. People can accuse you. People can try you, they can do all they like to you, but as far as you're standing before God is concerned, in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified. See, the tomb couldn't hold Jesus. Death can never claim him again. He has paid the sin debt once and for all. It will not happen again. I've tried to find a verse, but a hymn came to my mind. It says, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Hebrews 10:10 tells us, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, when we've trusted Jesus, when we accept his death, his burial, his resurrection, when we exercise faith and belief in his finished work, when we trust in his shed blood for the remission of sin, death no longer has a claim on us. The moment you close, you don't go to a purgatory or some place to wait for a judgment. To be absent from the body for a believer is to be present with the Lord. Sin cannot damn our souls. The devil cannot point the finger of accusation in our face. And I say amen, amen, and amen for that. See, true believers are free. You know, John 8, 32 and 36 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore hath made you free, ye shall be free indeed." Don't let anyone tell you you're still in bondage. You've been made free. And if we live faithful, honoring lives, we'll understand that completely. And we have victory, no matter what lion's den we're cast into. And it's good to know that our Lord and Savior is now seated at the right hand of God in victory. And nothing and no one, no situation can change that ever. And the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, delivered Daniel from the den of lions. He delivered Jesus from the death that sin demanded and has sat him right beside him in majesty on high. See, Daniel wasn't delivered because he was one of God's favorites. Listen, Daniel wasn't delivered from the lion's den because of any special election, any special predestination or foreordination. Daniel was delivered from the lion's den because he believed in God. Do you know, why are all the names in Hebrews 11 mentioned? You know, you've got Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. Then you get a little list. Remember Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. And God said, if we're not convinced, he said, and others. Why is their faith recorded? Well, Hebrews 11:6 is clear about that. He that believeth that God is. That's why. He that believeth. They believed God. See, without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? And the reward of that is you'll be delivered from the lion's den. Amen. And the more you seek him, the more you look to him, the more you want to know him, the more he reveals himself to you, and you won't have a care or worry in the world. Thirdly, the testimony to God's victory over his enemies. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. And listen, things didn't stop once Daniel was set free. Isn't it amazing? The king didn't, he says, no, I'm not letting bygones be bygones here. No way. He obviously felt that those who had plotted this, they had schemed and plotted against Daniel in such a selfish way so that they could profit from his death. He said, well, if that's the punishment they wanted for Daniel, I'm going to give it to them. I wonder what they thought of their gods at that moment. I wonder if they think of them, they're going to save us from death. See, only one God gives life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it tells us that they didn't even reach the bottom of the den before the lions devoured them. Can you imagine them being lowered down that hole, being thrown in that hole, and the lion's jumping up, and they've got them before they've hit the ground? And the news of Daniel's God being greater than all the other gods is proclaimed right throughout the city and to every corner of the kingdom and every language, it tells us. Now, before we get to that, there's a valuable lesson that we need to see. But more importantly, we need to learn it. Notice it just wasn't the men who plotted. It affected their wives and their children as well. They were all thrown in. They were all devoured by the lions. Now, Deuteronomy 5:9 says, "Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Now, if you go to Deuteronomy 24:16, it says, "The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children to be put to death to the fathers. Everyone shall be put to death for his own sin." And people like to say, well, there's a contradiction. But they don't contradict at all. What it tells us, we are all responsible for our own sin. Each and every one of us. Every one of us. It's a personal thing. But our sin has consequences. Our sin has repercussions, especially on other people and especially on our family. And as parents and grandparents, we should be especially careful how we act in front of our children and especially about how we feel about the one true God. You know, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they're singing and praising God. There's an earthquake. The prison doors are flung open. The chains come off. The jailer, he wakes up with a fright. And he thought, oh, everyone's escaped. I'm in trouble now. And he was ready to kill himself. And Paul calls out to him. He says, don't harm yourself. We're still here. We haven't gone anywhere. And he comes in with a light and he falls down before them and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And look what it says, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when they brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And as I said, reading this, this is very convicting. Yet it was comforting and encouraging at the same time. Because this shows me that parents, and I'm going to label grandparents too, who are truly born again, who truly want to honor God and live the Christian life before their family, are going to see God at work in their family. Without a doubt, God will work in that family. God will honor those that honor him. And as parents live right and pray right before God, they can have every expectation that God will work on their children. Now, Oliver B. Green, he made a pretty straightforward statement. He said, if parents honor God as they should, the family circle should not be broken at the great judgment day. What a truth that is. Listen, there is no truth in the statement that evil or wicked people only hurt themselves. There's no truth in that. That's what the world wants you to believe. That's what the devil wants you to believe. Because they also bring sorrow and heartache and death on their families. Now, I was in a prison ministry for years in Goulburn, which is Supermax prison, highest prison in Australia. And everyone in there were heartbroken for what they had done to their families. They were heartbroken with it. Now, I met a man who was 40. I didn't know it at the time, but he said to me, he says, you know, I've been in here 22 years. He said, I appreciate your fellowship. And I said, how old are you? 40. Went in there at 18. More of his life spent in jail than out. And the most sorrowful thing to him was, I hardly ever get to see my mum and dad. I wonder how they felt. We had a lady who would drive from the south coast 4 hours to Goulburn. She had nothing, just to visit her son, heartbroken. And she would ring up, and over the years, and this went on for 5 or 6 years, maybe longer, she would ring up and she'd say, "Pastor, could I get some petrol?" And we met a need every time she came. She was heartbroken at her son having to spend, I think he was doing 12 years in a prison. I tell you what, when I walked in there, the very first time, it was like someone had stripped my soul out of me. That was the atmosphere. But God is faithful. But don't ever think the way we live doesn't have consequences, because it does. And as parents, if we obey God, guess what? You leave all those consequences. They become His. They're His consequences. They're not ours. If we're obedient, we don't have to worry about the consequences. They're God's. And He'll honor His word every time. Now, some have said that the lions didn't eat Daniel because they were well fed. Critics are always like that. But those same critics, you know what? They never discuss why the lions ate the others so quick. And the Bible answers that question for us. The difference is in the end of verse 23, it talks about Daniel because he believed in his God. That's why they didn't eat him. Daniel believed his God was faithful. Daniel believed that whatever circumstance he faced, his God would see him through it, even if it meant death. Why do we think Psalm 23 means so much to people? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Where does he lead me? Through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, what? His rod and staff will comfort me. Oh, we read it and we read it, and I don't know if I've shared before, but there was an actor who recited it after a play one time. And the people were so overwhelmed at how well this man spoke, how eloquent, how he punctuated that psalm. And there was a pastor there, an old pastor, and one of the men said, "Well, why don't you get up and say it?" And he did. And you could have heard a pin drop in that room. And the man said to the actor after this, he says, "You were so eloquent, yours was so good." He said, "But no one's ever heard anything like this," man said. And the actor got it right. He said, "Listen, I know the psalm. The pastor knows the shepherd." Do you know the shepherd? Are you trusting in him, that he is a faithful God? Do you believe in him? You know, I like the last part here, verses 25. Because the king writes another law. Remember, these laws can't be changed. They can't be broken. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, and look what it says, "All nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree." So everyone knows we can't change this. We can't change it. "That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel." Why? "For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion." Isn't that amazing? Darius decrees that Daniel's God is the living God, a steadfast God, an unmovable God, an all-powerful God that cannot be destroyed, and his kingdom will reign forever. Is that your God this morning? Is that the kingdom you're headed for? Now, this doesn't mean there was a state religion formed and you could only worship one God. What it did do, it brought about a religious tolerance that permitted God's people here, the Jewish people, to worship God without any fear at all of being mistreated or even martyred for their faith. Listen, it's the exact opposite for us today. In our day, religious tolerance is against the one true God. Amen? People are martyred for their faith. Anything goes except the worship of the one true God, the God of Daniel.
But Daniel's faithfulness in a God who is faithful to all his promise gets him another promotion. Verse 28. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You see, Daniel was preserved for the work that God had for him to do, and now he's in a position where God can use him even more. He's second in line in the world empires in the times of the Gentiles. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you're one of God's children today, you are indestructible until God's finished with you. Indestructible. If we live right, if we trust God right, if we obey God's word, it doesn't matter what hell can do to you, doesn't matter what happens, until the work God has called us to do is finished, you can say, I'm here until God finishes with me. And that applies to all believers. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that a beautiful verse? And we all know Romans 8:28. You know, Daniel loved God. Those three Hebrew boys, they loved God. Joseph, Moses, the apostles, the disciples, they all loved God. The question is, do I love him the same way? Because if we love him and honor him, he will do for us what he's done for everybody who's gone before us. Amen. This is not just some made-up story and special people have special privileges. This is God's word to his children. And everything in here is true to his children. And if you're one of his, everything that's happening here to others can happen to you. Ephesians 3:17, I'll finish quickly. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now when we look at Daniel's life, and these are not just my thoughts, this is what I got from a study. He prayed. Remember, he kneeled three times a day. He praised. He gave thanks to God. He was persistent, whom thou servest continually. He was persecuted, that Daniel. He was protected, shut the lion's mouth. He was preferred, Daniel was preferred. And he prospered, so this Daniel prospered. You know what the truth is today, brothers and sisters? The God of Daniel is still able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think and ask. God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at what you can do in the life of your children. Father, there are areas in our life that we may not have surrendered completely yet. But Lord, you're at work in us. And help us not to try and hang on to the little things that may please us that we know are wrong. But Lord, give us the strength as your Holy Spirit moves within us to hand over to you everything that is needed, Lord, as you accomplish your purpose and plan in our lives. And help us to understand and know that you are a faithful God. Lord, may your word have blessed us this morning, encouraged us, uplifted us, and urged us, Lord, to press on no matter what we face. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.